The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text this morning is found in Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 10. Let me read verses 1 through 5 here. Now I, Paul myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. This morning, I want to speak to you about conquering the heart and mind. The Apostle Paul was always set to defend his God-given authority against the imposters who slandered him. Of course, we read him doing this in verses 1 and 2 of the text for this morning, where he says, Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. Against some, he says there, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You see, these people accuse Paul of walking according to the flesh, he says. In other words, strictly speaking, that phrase, that thought, Paul, there, that walking according to the flesh means living his life in the passions and corruptions of fallen human depravity. But more directly speaking here in the context, they accuse Paul of being two-faced. That's right, two-faced. Look at it. They say in verse 9 and 10, Paul says of them, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. You see, they say he conducts himself in two different manners, in two different ways. He's different when he's with you than when he's writing an epistle to you. So they accuse Paul of being two-faced, walking according to the flesh. And also they accuse Paul of horning in on someone else's labors. Look at that in verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. They're accusing Paul of walking according to the flesh as, well, he's just horning into our work, what we're doing here. This is what they were accusing the Apostle Paul of. However, Paul's detractors had an ulterior motive, and they had a clear loophole. Now, let me show you that. First of all, their ulterior motive was this. And it's the ulterior motive of every false prophet who seeks to speak against someone that speaks the truth of God as it is in Christ Jesus. You see, the ulterior motive of these false prophets, that it's what Paul calls them, false prophets. The ulterior motive is this, to discredit the gospel Paul preached. And that's what he clearly says in verse 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul was sent to these Corinthians to preach the gospel to them. And that is his sole purpose, is preaching the gospel. And this is the ulterior motive of these false prophets, and it's the ulterior motive of every false prophet who criticizes one of God's preachers and God's sent men, is because they're trying to discredit the gospel these men are preaching. But people who hate the gospel of Christ love to attack God's ambassadors of that gospel. God's sent preachers of the gospel are not faultless, and they're certainly not sinless. And thus they're large targets. There's no doubt about that. But their message is Jesus Christ and not themselves. And men hate Christ by nature, and these false prophets are bent on trying to discredit that mass message. But according to our context, according to our text, and in the context rather, we see that these false prophets shall not hinder God Almighty's message. Secondly, look at the clear loopholes in these detractors of the Apostle Paul. Their standard, here's the loophole. Their standard is themselves. Do you see it? Verse 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So their standard, the loophole for their trying to discredit the gospel is the loopholes, their standard is themselves, and they commend themselves. Do you see it? Look at verse 17. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So clearly, gospel detractors use a human standard and a man-centered commendation to gather and hold on to followers. And I have to admit, they're pretty good at it. They're pretty good at it. But these followers they have are followers of them. They're not followers of the Lord. They're not followers of Christ. And they're not followers of his gospel. They appeal, it is these detractors, those who detract from the gospel, those who would attack God's messengers. They appeal to man's natural hatred for Christ, the Christ of God, I might add, and they preach another Jesus. They preach a false Christ. They preach a perverted message of human effort and human will. That's exactly right. This is what they do. They appeal to man's natural hatred for Christ, the Christ of God, and they preach another Jesus. They preach a false Christ, and they preach a perverted message of human effort and human will. We see Paul in this very epistle in chapter 11, verse 4, warning the Corinthians about those who preach another Jesus. We read him in verse 13 that they preach another message. And we also read in chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, they emphasize man's will. That's what false prophets do. Why? They're trying to discredit the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what I'm saying this morning. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The very gospel which men mock and reject, that gospel holds in its arsenal the very weapons of God that conquer the hearts and minds of those God is saving. Now let's read it again, 2 Corinthians 10, now verse 3, 4, and 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not of this world. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you see it? You see what Paul says here? The very gospel that false prophets and false teachers and false preachers, the very gospel that these men mock and reject, that gospel holds in its arsenal the very weapons of God Almighty that conquers the hearts and minds of those that God is saving. I want to give you three things in the remainder of my time this morning concerning this arsenal, this gospel, and this conquering of the heart and mind by the gospel. Here's the first thing. The weapons Paul mentions are referred to by Paul. And first of all, it is this, the obedience of Christ. You see, Christ's obedience guaranteed righteousness. Now, listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5. And listen to these words carefully. These words are from Paul, being inspired of the Spirit of God. And in Romans chapter 5, he writes these words, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." He's talking there about Adam. "When our father Adam fell in the garden, we all fail in him. Not just with him, though we fail with him, but we also fail in him." Listen, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. I say to everyone out there under the sound of my voice, you commit sins because in the purpose of God Almighty, Adam standing as our representative and our federal head, when Adam sinned in that garden, when he committed that one disobedience, we all, many, were made sinners. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Now you may say, "I don't like that. That's not fair." It's not up to you. It doesn't matter. This is God's ordained way. This is the way God has ordained it, and this is the way it is. "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Ah, but listen to the rest of what Paul says. "So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." That is, Paul is saying the law then came along to show us how bad sin really is. That's the whole purpose of the law. The law is there that it might shut our mouths of boasting toward God and before God. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded," listen to it, "grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death." You had nothing to do with that. I had nothing to do with that. Adam had everything to do with that. The sovereign purpose of God and the condemnation of God against Adam had everything to do with that. "That as sin hath reigned unto death," now listen, "even so might grace reign." Do you see it? "Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So we see that the weapons Paul mentions here are referred to by Paul in the very text. It is the obedience of Christ. And Christ's obedience guaranteed righteousness. Obedience, this obedience of Christ, was an obedience that wrought reconciliation and trespasses not being imputed. Listen to what Paul says in this very epistle from which my text is taken. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And listen to what he says in verses 18 through the end of the chapter. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit," or that is to say, "that God was in Christ." Notice the tense there. Notice. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Thus I can declare upon the authority of God Almighty's word that when Jesus Christ died on that tree, he reconciled this world Paul speaks about. He reconciled that world to God, and God in turn was not imputing their trespasses unto them." Do you see it? Let me read it again. To wit, or that is to say, Paul says, that God was in Christ back then when he died on that tree. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For, now listen to this profound, amazing, and glorious statement by Paul in verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5. For he hath made him, that's for the Father, hath made the Son, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So we see, according to the scripture, the weapons Paul mentions here are obedience. It's the obedience of Christ, and that obedience of Christ guaranteed righteousness. That obedience of Jesus Christ wrought reconciliation and trespasses not being imputed to the people for whom Christ died. And number three, concerning the weapons Paul mentions here, this obedience of Christ. Obedience that earned Christ his personally wrought exaltation. Do you see that? Christ's obedience personally wrought for him his exaltation. Listen to what Paul writes of Christ in Philippians chapter 2. And listen to these words Paul writes, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death. Do you see that? Christ became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see here's a part of the weapons here. And it's the preaching, the proclamation, the actual doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the preaching and the proclamation of that. So first of all, Paul refers to those weapons here. It says in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Listen, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we see Paul talks about the weapons here. Number two, these weapons, according to the Apostle Paul here, are mighty through God. No man, do you hear me? Hear me this morning. If you have ears to hear me this morning. No man has God over a barrel. According to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9, verses 15 through 24 mainly. You can read the whole chapter, but verses 15 through 24, the Apostle Paul tells us that God Almighty is the potter. Mankind is a singular mass or lump of clay, and he, as the potter, makes one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Some he has fitted to destruction, others he has afore prepared unto glory. You do not, hear me out there this morning, you do not have the God of heaven and earth over a barrel. God's gospel will be absolutely successful. According to Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11, Isaiah prophesied, and God declared through Isaiah these words, that his word would prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. It will accomplish the thing that God's ordained for it to accomplish. And God's gospel, the preaching of God's gospel, will accomplish what God has ordained for it to accomplish. And the Apostle Paul makes it quite clear in this very epistle, 2 Corinthians, that this gospel is to some a savor of death unto death, but unto others, oh, by the grace and mercy and compassion of God, it is a savor of life unto life. So we see that the weapons Paul mentions here are referred to by Paul. It's the obedience of Christ. It's his actual obedience, and it's the proclamation of his obedience. And we see that these weapons are mighty through God. No man has God over a barrel. And God's gospel will be absolutely successful. Now here's number three. The might of these weapons is manifested in their results. Do you hear what I said? The might of these weapons is manifested in its result. False religion's result is in pure numbers. That's what they base everything on. Everything, it's the whole society in which we live today, especially in this country. Everything's about numbers. It's about bulk. It's about quantity, not about quality. But I say to you, here are the weapons. Here are the weapons. They're manifested by the results. They pull down strongholds. Do you hear me? They pull down strongholds. According to the Apostle Paul, the preaching of the gospel crushes the castle walls that men build in defense against it. It crushes castle walls. Listen, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you see that? They crush the castle walls, pulls down the castle walls, crushes all of that rebellion and resistance that has been built up against God and His Christ and His gospel. But God Almighty's message will bring down those walls and crush it before the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, according to the Apostle Paul, they cast down imaginations. In other words, human reason will be thrown down by God, and the conquered will see God trample their reason under his feet. Go back and read Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through verse 21. God says there that he will crush the wisdom of the wise. He will make it to be nothing before him. You see, God Almighty is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, and he is sovereign over everything and everyone. The effeminate cry, "Your God is a monster." I know they do. No, my God is God indeed, and he does according to his will among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" So let the effeminate cry, "Your God's a monster," all they will. According to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 11, God Almighty is also severe. He is severe. Yes, he is mercy. He is gracious. He is compassionate. He is long-suffering, but he's also wrath. He's also hatred. He's also severe against all ungodliness and sin and wickedness. So let the effeminate cry, "Your God's a monster," all they will. No, our God is God indeed, and he does as he pleases. Also concerning these weapons, they cast down the pride of humanity and its refusal to submit to the truth of who God is. Read it with me. Chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen to me this morning, if you're under the sound of my voice, if you're still with me this morning, listen to me. If God has not, at this point, broken down the walls of your castle and bowed you to Jesus Christ, and if God has not already cast down your imaginations and every high thing in you that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Him and bringing you to see and to adore and to love and trust in the obedience of Christ, listen to me, it may be that God has left you to yourself and given you over to a reprobate mind. Hear me this morning. No one out there has my God, Paul's God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. No man, no woman, young or old, has the God of heaven and earth over a barrel. Listen to me. If God has not broken down the walls of your castle and bowed you to Christ, it may be that God has left you to yourself and given you over to a reprobate mind. But, oh, what a glorious thing. But if God is pleased, if God set His love on you in Christ before the world began, if God is pleased, then He will crush your rebellion. He will conquer your thoughts. He will cast down your imaginations. If God is pleased to, because it's up to Him, it's not up to me, it's not up to you. If God is pleased, He will crush your rebellion and He will bow you at the feet of His Son. And He'll do it through sending someone to you to preach the gospel to you, the very gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very thing that you despise by nature, He'll send that very thing to you and have someone preach it to you, and it will conquer your heart and render you toward love and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because God said He would do it.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.